Pastor Jeffrey A. Johnson Sr. and the Eastern Star Church welcome you to Jewel Ministries. This broadcast will bring you into our worship services, where Jesus is exalted and the Word is explained. We encourage you to worship with us and thank you for joining us today.
On to Freddy Krueger, woke up and he was in her reality, and she was able to overcome him. Why? Because she stopped dreaming it and start living it. So the next time this dream becomes a nightmare in your life, I dare you to call on your heavenly Father. Daddy, I can't make it without you. Daddy, I'm gonna need you. Daddy, I can't do this by myself. Daddy, I need you to show up. And how many of you know God will show up in your situation and help you to make your dream a reality? Do I have a witness in this place? Let me show you something. If you got your Bibles, go to chapter 41. I want to show you something. In chapter 41, here's what's taking place in there. Go to verse 40 when you get there. But in chapter 41, now I know I left you with Joseph in the prison for something he didn't do. And so Joseph is interpreting dreams in the prison. The chief cupbearer has a dream in the prison, and Joseph interprets it. And so the chief cupbearer said, listen, when I get out of this, I got the ear of the king. I'm going to tell the king about you, Joseph, and I'm going to get you out of this dungeon, out of this pit. And so the cupbearer gets out of prison, gets back to the king, and forgot all about Joseph. His dream is still a nightmare. And then the king of Egypt has a dream. And when he has a dream, they couldn't find anybody to interpret his dream. The cupbearer said, I almost forgot. There's a man in prison named Joseph. He's a dream interpreter, king. He can tell you what your dream means. So they went and got Joseph, got him all cleaned up, set him before the king. And Joseph told the king, here's what your dream means. You're going to have 7 years of abundance. It's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. The economy is going to go down for 7 years. So he said, king, if I were you, I would take some of that grain in my 7 years of abundance. I would save it up and store it up. So when the economy goes down, you already in a position to sail through the 7 years of hard time. The king was so impressed with Joseph's interpretation of the dream and his wisdom in terms of the response that the king, verse 40, puts Joseph in charge of the palace. Watch what the king does for him. Then the king put him in charge of the people. Then the king put him in charge of the whole place, the whole land of Egypt, because the king is giving Joseph authority. He puts him in charge. But the king doesn't put Joseph in charge of the palace until Joseph had already been in charge at Potiphar's house, and he had already been in charge in the prison. He didn't start at the top in charge of the palace. He started first at the bottom in charge of the prison. Because if he could not run the prison at the bottom, you sure can't run the palace at the top. So you don't jump to the top of success, y'all. You work your way to the top to be successful. Because see, we keep talking about what we gonna do in the not yet. That when I get to the top, when I make it, when I'm big, this is what I'm going to do. Well, that's the not yet. God wants to know what you're going to do with your right now. Since you ain't at the top yet, what you doing with your right now? Because if you handle your right now, the not yet will take care of itself. Because folk keep saying what they going to do at the top. You want to know what you're going to do at the top? The same thing you doing at the bottom. So if you ain't doing nothing at the bottom, guess what you're going to do at the top? You ain't going to do nothing up there either. Folks talking about, man, pastor, if I made $1 million a year, I would tithe. If you ain't tithing off the $100 you making, God already know you ain't going to tithe if you're making a million. If God can't get $10 out of you when you're making $100, he know he can't get $100,000 out of you when you're making a million. But if you'll be faithful over a few things, I know I got some witnesses in here, God will make you ruler over many. You got to handle your business at the bottom. And then God is setting you up so that you will know what you're doing when you get to the top. And so what did the king give him? Gave him authority. What else did the king give him? I told y'all to go to chapter 41. In chapter 41, verse 42, watch what the king does. The king takes his ring off his own hand, puts it on Joseph's hand. Then the king took his own gold chain off, gave it to Joseph. And then the king took some of his royal clothes and let Joseph have them. And then the king took one of his chariots with 24-inch chrome rims and a chauffeur and let Joseph have that. What is the king up to? The king is now providing Joseph with prosperity. But the prosperity is to live out the authority, because the king is not going to give him authority and then not give him the resources that are necessary to live out the authority. See, we talk about God prospering us and God will prosper us. But when God gives you prosperity, it is not so that you can impress your friends with how great you are. But the prosperity is to be used to live out your purpose. So the king says, I'm going to give you all of these things, but I'm only giving it to you to advance this kingdom. So as long as Joseph lined his life up with the king, because there was nobody over Joseph but the king. He had authority over everybody else, but he still had to line his life up with the king. So now he's got authority. So the king said, I'm going to hook you up with some prosperity so that now you can live out the authority. My question to you is this. Since you asking for prosperity and for God to do something, what is it going to mean to the kingdom? I mean, God ain't just going to give you some stuff just for you. The King of Kings will bless you, but he want to know, how is this going to advance my kingdom? And watch this. It's not only prosperity he gives him. He gives him credibility and believability. Preacher, I'm not following you. He gives him a ring that belonged to the king, a gold chain that belonged to the king. It's the king's chariot. Joe's living at the king's palace. He's even wearing the king's clothes. What is that all about? It's credibility, because he's got authority over everybody else. So when he begins to make decisions, the king wants everybody to know that Joe is with me, so that y'all have to listen to him. And when folks stop listening, then somebody would nudge them and say, wait a minute now. Now, you know, that's the king's boy. You know, he and the king got a unique relationship with each other. And you know how they knew he had a unique relationship with the king? Because look at how he was blinging. Look at the stuff the king had given to him so that folk would believe he had a unique relationship with the king. Y'all ain't getting this? What do y'all think the ring, the chain, and the chariot was all about? So that folk will know we have a unique relationship. All right, let me do it like this. My wife and I, we've been married for 23 years of marriage. And when we got married, we did like everybody else. We exchanged rings. She got a ring. I got a ring. We exchanged rings. And we wear these rings. And Sharon is adamant about me wearing these rings. She's so adamant about me wearing my ring until that's the first thing I put on when I wake up in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, say my prayers, I grab my ring and put it on. Now, why is she so adamant about me wearing the ring? It is for revelation and reminder. She wants me to wear the ring for a revelation for people who may not know Sharon and I. So even if they don't know us, they can look at the ring as a sign and a symbol that I'm no longer on the market, that I am not available, that I am in a unique relationship with somebody. Well, how do you know? Because look at the ring. It's revelation. But wait a minute, I also wear the ring as a reminder, not to other folk, but to me, so that every time I see the ring, it reminds me that I'm off the market. I'm not available. I'm in unique relationship. Is there anybody in here with a unique relationship with God? That means, y'all, God will bless you with what you need to have to advance his kingdom. And watch this. The king does all of that. What does Joseph do when he's making his dream a reality? See, a lot of us just waiting on God because we want his authority. We want his prosperity. We want his credibility and all of that. But what are you going to do? Well, preacher, help me to understand. I'm tired of Freddy Krueger in my dreams. I'm tired of getting burned by one person after another. What am I supposed to do? I already told you one. Never forget what God showed you. The other thing you're going to have to do, here's what Joseph did. He relocated. If you want to make your dreams a reality and get the fullness of what God wants to do, you got to relocate. And I'm not talking about geographically. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about ethically, morally, psychologically, and mentally. You got to relocate. Look at somebody, tell them, I think you need to make a move. Because here is why. Y'all, God will give you the revelation in one place, but the realization in another place. God will show it to you in one spot, then he'll give it to you in another spot. Y'all not following me? God showed Joseph the dream at his father's house in dysfunction, but he gave him the realization of the dream at the king's house. Because just because God shows it to you in your dysfunction doesn't mean he's going to give it to you in your dysfunction. See, even right now, I'm preaching to somebody. Let me use my grandmother's terminology. I'm preaching to somebody who's shacking. I know that's old school. My mother's generation, they used to call it living together. My generation called it cohabitation. And all of it is dysfunctional. I mean, when you living with somebody you ain't married to and y'all doing some stuff you know you ain't got no business doing, y'all do know that's dysfunctional. But here's what's so amazing. God has been showing you some dreams. God's been speaking to you in your dysfunction. God's been revealing some things and speaking to your spirit about what he's going to do and what he's going to show you, how he's going to raise you up, how he's going to bless you. And he's showing it to you in your dysfunction. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm outside the will of God, and God is still speaking to me, and God is still showing me these things. But what you don't understand, he shows it to you in your dysfunction, but he won't give it to you in your dysfunction. Because if he gives it to you in your dysfunction, you wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. So what God does, he is showing you, watch this, he's showing you how you can function if you come out of your dysfunction. And what some of us need to learn is this. Here's what Joe learned, this relocation. He understood that sometimes you got to get away from your family to be a blessing to your family. Oh, I'm preaching this thing tonight. Sometimes you got to get away from your friends to be a blessing to your friend. Sometimes you got to get away from your crew to be a blessing to your crew. See, I'm preaching to somebody that went into the military. And when you went into the military, it changed your life. And you went to another level. And you were able to come back and be a blessing to your family. Because you had to get away from them in order to be a blessing to them. And some of y'all were like me. Now, I had to go to school and go to outside of Indiana, and God was taking me from level to level and all of that. But then I could come back and be a blessing to my family. Because as long as I stay in the dysfunction, I will be dysfunctional. But if I let God take me away, clean me up, raise me up, then I can come back and be a blessing to my... Do I have a witness in here? Okay, all right. Now just relocate. Something else you got to do. Here's something else Joseph did. He made sure he had a strategic plan. Because some of us had dreams, but no plans. Okay, you got dreams. You're going to do all that. You're going to be all that. You're going to have all that. What's your plan? Well, preacher, why do I need a plan? God showed it to Joseph, but he still had a plan. Because if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. What you gonna do? Because if Joseph didn't have a plan, you know what? If Joseph without his plan, he still would have had a ring, a chain, a chariot, and a palace and clothes. but hungry. Y'all, he would have had bling, but empty. And everybody in here know at least one somebody with a whole bunch of bling and still hungry and empty and ain't nothing going on the inside. Why? No plan. Well, what was his plan? His plan had to be in the approval of the king, because as Joseph lined his life up with the king, that's when God gave him his authority. Y'all, whenever you start making plans, your plans have to include God. Some of us got too many plans and God ain't nowhere around. You got to put some Jesus in your plans, some Holy Ghost in your plans, some salvation. Do I have a witness in this? You need the approval of the king. And what was his plan? Remember, it was going to be 7 years of abundance, of plenty, followed by a downturn in the economy, 7 years of famine. So here was the plan. Joe told the king, here's what you need to do, king. If I was you, I'd make sure that the grain, that the increase in the time of abundance, I'd take a fifth of that and just store it. Just save it. Just put it away. Do that for 7 years. So when the famine comes, then we got enough to sail through. And so, watch this. You cannot consume. Your plan means you cannot consume every increase you get. I mean, he consumed some of it. He spent some. But then he also stored some. He saved it. Then he sold some. Then he shared some. And that ought to be all of our plan. When we get an increase, we can spend some, thank God. But then we also need to save some. We can sell some. Then we got to share some with God and those who are less fortunate. That has to be a part of the plan. And watch this with the savings. He did not take the grain and put it all in one place. The king had him to make sure there was property and real estate all around Egypt. And he began to store in different places, putting commissioners over them in order to protect it and watch over it and all of that. Because, y'all, when God begins to give you an increase, you're going to have to save it. And when you save it, it needs to be some diversity in your savings. We got to learn that when I get an increase, I got to learn how to invest what I increase, and I cannot put it all in the same thing. So let me ask you, when you get your increase and you begin to save, where do you store it? Do you just store it in a savings account and that's it? Do you store it in T-bills? Do you store it in stocks or bonds? Where do you store it? IRA, 401k, 403b? Some of y'all looking at me like I'm speaking in tongues. Then let me interpret it for you. When God begins to bless you and open doors, you're going to have to find somewhere to put that increase, because when the economy goes bad, then you already in a position to sail through it. Here's another thing. Now, here's the thing that Joe did. Joe made sure he understood he's got to give it time. Here's our problem with our dreams. We want to dream on Wednesday and have the fruition of the dream on Thursday. Somebody had a dream last night and mad at God because he didn't perform it today. Give it time. Somebody shout time. Joseph was 17 when he had the dream. He was 30 when the king put him in charge of the palace. And then 7 years of abundance, and then another 7 years of dealing with a bad economy. You got to give it time, because, y'all, you have to learn how to trust God over time. And you don't even have to say amen to me, because I already know you cannot hurry God. You just got to wait. You got to trust and give him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God that you can't hurry. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Somebody shout, yes, he is. You got to give it time. You got to give it time. Here's the last thing, and I'm finished. When you're trying to make sure your dreams that have become a nightmare, and so now you're going to make it a reality to overcome what's happened. The king is going to do his thing. Preacher, what else do I need to do? One more thing. Joseph understood that there are some things I have to let go. If you're going to make it to the level God wants you to be at, there are some things you got to let go. Joseph had haters. His brothers dogged him. That woman lied on him. He went to prison for something he didn't do. The cupbearer forgot all about him after Joseph blessed him. But Joseph don't ever bring that stuff up again. You know why? Because some stuff you got to let go. If you're going to embrace what is ahead of you, you got to learn how to let go of what is behind you. And some of us cannot embrace what is right in front of us because we won't let go of some stuff in the past. You just need to make up in your mind that you're not going to go into the new year holding on to the same old grudges. Don't go into the new year with the same old unforgiveness. Wait a minute. If you go into the new year doing the same old thing, it ain't even a new year for you. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. I know they dogged you, but let it go. I know they hurt you, but let it go. I know they never should have fired you, but let it go. I know you did all you could to bless them, but let it go. They didn't treat you right. Let it. Y'all looking at me strangely, but I ain't going. I'm going to stick right here with it till you get it in your spirit. You cannot walk into what is ahead of you till you let go of what's behind you. My number one, Jay Allen came home from school and he said, Daddy, I got an illustration for you. I was online and I went to this website and I don't even know what the website, I don't even want to know. And if I knew which website it was, I wouldn't tell y'all anyway. Listen to what he told me. He said this woman was getting cosmetic surgery done on her behind. I don't know what the website is, so don't ask me. And she didn't like the way her behind looked. So I don't know if she was getting an implant in her behind. I don't know. But some kind of cosmetic situation on her behind because she didn't like the way her behind looked. So she was going to do something about it. So she goes to the doctor, physician does his thing and all of that. And then after the physician finished, her behind was worse than when she went to him. It looked worse. And when she would sit down, it would hurt her. So it didn't look right and it didn't feel right. Jay Allen said, because she went to the wrong doctor. And Jay says, when you go to the wrong physician to try to handle what's behind you, it's going to be worse than when you went to them, and your past will become a pain in the butt. But I got some good news for you. There's a doctor named Jesus that the Bible says is a great physician. And watch this. He knows how to handle what's behind. Is there anybody in here that God took care of your behind so that now you can walk on into your future? Do I have a witness in this place? Look at somebody and tell them you got to let it go. Watch this. Joe's brothers years later were still tripping about what they did to him. Oh, in chapter 50, they still tripping. And Joseph said, why y'all still tripping? I'm second in command in Egypt. I'm running almost the whole world. I saved the world with my plan. And y'all tripping because of what you did. Well, we never should have did it. And we shouldn't have did that. And we sorry. And we want. He said, wait a minute. I let it go. Now you need to let it go. And they asked him, how could you let something like that go? He said, because y'all meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And y'all, the way I have learned to deal with people who have dogged me in the past is I stop focusing on what they meant. And I focus on what God meant. I stop focusing on what they intended. And I focus on what God intended. Because my haters meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God can take what your haters do against you and use it for you. Do I have a witness in here? Thank God for what he meant. So Joseph told his brothers, he said, listen, you know what? Had y'all not been jealous and envious of me, y'all never would have beat me down and threw me in that pit. And had y'all never thrown me in that pit, later on, somebody wouldn't have picked me up and sold me into slavery in Egypt. And had I never been sold into slavery in Egypt, I never would have worked at Potiphar's house. And had I never worked at Potiphar's house, Mrs. Potiphar never would have lied and said I raped her. And had she never lied on me, I never would have went to prison for something that I did not do. And had I never gone to prison for something I didn't do, I never would have met the cupbearer of the king. And had I never met the cupbearer of the king, he never would have told the king that I could interpret dreams. And had he never told the king I could interpret dreams, the king never would have put me second in command. And if the king had never put me second in command, the whole world would have starved to death. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You got to focus on what God means. Whatever God showed you, don't forget about it. And just keep on trusting in God. No matter how bad it gets, keep on trusting him. No matter how difficult it gets, keep on loving him. That's why I appreciate James Fortune. James Fortune has a great song out talking about, I will trust in God. He said, I'll trust in the Lord. He said, even though I can't see or feel your touch, I'll trust you. How I love you so much. Even though my nights seem long and I feel all alone, Lord, I'll trust in you. I'll surrender to you. Because sometimes these painful thoughts are tracking through my mind and I don't know how I'll make it this time, but I'll trust in you. Because everything I see is telling me not to believe, but I'll trust you because you've never failed me. I'll trust in you, though it ain't easy, because the pain I have make you seem so far away. But I need to know that you're near. God, I'll trust in you through the tears and the pain, through the heartaches and the rain. I'll trust in you. And then Fortune said, God will make a way out of no way. Is there anybody here that'll trust him through the pain? Is there anybody here that'll trust him in hard times?
Pastor Jeffrey A. Johnson, Sr. and the members of Eastern Star Church hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program, call 591-5050. Please give the date you heard this broadcast and call letters of this station when you call. You can also order a cassette of this broadcast by logging on to our website at easternstarchurch.org. Just click on the radio TV link. Please join us again at the church where Jesus is exalted and the word is explained.